Today in the church, a new liturgical year begins, which is a new journey of faith for the people of God. And as always, we begin with Advent. The passage of the Gospel, Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 44, introduces us to one of the most evocative themes of Advent, the visit of the Lord to humanity. The first visit, we all know, occurred with the Incarnation, Jesus' birth in the cave of Bethlehem. The second takes place in the present. The Lord visits us constantly, each day, walking alongside us and being a consoling presence. In the end, there will be the third, the last visit, which we proclaim each time that we recite the Creed. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Today, the Lord speaks to us about this final visit, which will take place at the end of time. And He tells us where we will arrive on our journey. The Word of God emphasizes the contrast between the normal unfolding of events, the everyday routine, and the unexpected coming of the Lord. Jesus says, "In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away." Verses 38 to 39. So says Jesus. It always strikes a chord when we think about the hours which precede a great disaster. Everyone is calm and they go about their usual business without realizing that their lives are about to be turned upside down. Of course, the gospel does not want to scare us, but to open our horizons to another, greater dimension, one which on the one hand puts into perspective everyday things, while at the same time making them precious, crucial. The relationship with the God who comes to visit us gives every gesture, everything a different light, a substance, a symbolic value. From this perspective, there also comes an invitation to sobriety, to not be controlled by the things of this world, by material reality, but rather to govern them. If, by contrast, we allow ourselves to be influenced and overpowered by these things, we cannot perceive that there is something very important— our final encounter with the Lord. This is important, that encounter. And everyday matters must have this horizon and must be directed to that horizon. This encounter with the Lord who comes for us. In that moment, as the gospel says, two men will be out in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Verse 40. It is an invitation to be vigilant, because in not knowing when he will come, we need to be ever ready to leave. In this season of Advent, we are called to expand the horizons of our hearts, to be amazed by the life which presents itself each day with newness. In order to do this, we must learn to not depend on our own certainties, on our own established strategies, because the Lord comes at a time that we do not imagine. He comes to bring us into a more beautiful and grand dimension. Readings from the Fathers of the Church. Saint Augustine. Let us love and not fear him who will come. What then will the Christian do? He will make use of the world, but not become the world's slave. What does that mean? In spite of having things, he will behave as if he did not have them. This is what the Apostle Paul says. The world in its present form is passing away. I should like you to be free of anxieties. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 31 to 32. He who has no worries is serene in waiting for the coming of the Lord. In fact, what sort of love do we have for Christ if we are afraid of his coming? And are we not ashamed of this, brothers? We love him, and we are afraid of his coming. But do we truly love him? Or is it perhaps that we love Christ less than our sins? Well then, let us hate sin and love him who will come to punish sin. Whether we like it or not, he will come. If he does not come immediately, it does not mean that he will never come. He will certainly come, and when you least expect it. If you want to find him full of mercy, be merciful yourself before he comes. If someone has slighted you, forgive him. If you have something in surplus, give it to your neighbor. Whose, in fact, are the things that you give? Are they not, perhaps, his things? If you were to give your own garment, you would be making an optional donation. But since you give the garment you got from him, you make nothing but a restitution. What in fact do you have that you have not received? Cf. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. These, then, are the victims most pleasing to God: compassion, humility, confession, peace, charity. Let us bring these offerings to the altar, and we will wait calmly for the coming of the judge, who will judge the world according to justice and the peoples according to his truth. Cf. Psalm 9, verse 9.